Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day by day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods.
Cheir gan tíorna, gach ula hír, Fáilsichif ula ilhánte, Cúrif a glór a céil a mesc na cíneach, Opra íantach a mesc na hula slúach, Oris mór in tíorna, agus rá ari ar clú, agus is ábhar acal esin bós cáun na nula díahen.
Please be seated. Welcome, Clan Baird. Welcome, Clan Cameron. Welcome, Clan Farquharson. Welcome to the Dubuque Clan. Welcome, Clan Lamont. Welcome, Clan McLaughlin. Clan McLennan, welcome. Clan Fraser, welcome. Clan McMillan, welcome to you. I do hope there's a Campbell coming. Clan McLeod and Lewis. Clan McRae, welcome. Clan McLaren, welcome to you. Clan Sinclair, welcome. Clan Young, welcome to you. I almost feel I need to take off my tie and put it down as a representative of the Campbells, but what a disappointing showing from the Campbells today, and I'm one of them. Friends, just before we get started this morning, we are here for the Kirkan of the Tartan. Someone has lost a lovely little pin on their way in out behind me. I will leave that there for later. Everyone's checking their pins. You can come up and get it during the hymn if you'd like. So that's been found. Now, friends, all who are gathered here today from near and far, we do welcome our Scottish clans, and we welcome you too this morning, whether you're Scottish or not, Celtic or Caucasian, Melanesian or Eurasian. The Lord Jesus welcomes and calls repentant sinners from every nation, language, tribe and clan, without preference and without distinction, welcome to you this morning. We're going to hear the intro.
Almighty Lord and God of love, direct my heart and guide my ways.
Amen, my spirit. Mine remove
from all that.
Friends, again, a warm welcome to Scots today, especially if this is your first time with us. Please do stay for a COVID-safe morning tea on the mezzanine floor of the Westpac building behind me. And if you're the parent of small children, you're welcome to make use of the kids' zone to my left in the aisle. Just a note for everybody, the big hymn sing is coming on August 1st, and we would love you to come along and invite a friend. So the little printed invitation cards in your order of service this morning are not really for you. The idea is that you can take one or two, if you like, and pass them on to friends, neighbours, anyone you'd like to bring along for a great Sunday afternoon of music and song on August 1. Finally, if you are a regular, please note that Lou and I will be heading off for a quick visit to family in New Zealand in the coming week. Mike Rater will be preaching next Sunday, and Phil Court, along with Lita, will be available on call for pastoral needs. And we'll be back and see you the following Sunday. We're going to join in song together now. The hymn is Father, We Praise You. And would you join with me in prayer? Our Father, God of all the nations, and maker of all that is, seen and unseen, we gather together this morning as a family united from many different places and races and tongues. A family united under one Lord, Jesus Christ, in one faith and one baptism, moved inwardly by the one Spirit that you poured out on your people to incline us no longer towards what is wrong, but towards what is righteous. As we gather this morning, we give you thanks for your faithful servants in Scotland who preached your word and built your church there, and from there extended their hands in generosity to a small colony here in Melbourne nearly two centuries ago. We thank you for the gospel they preached of forgiveness in Christ, for the confidence and the contentment they found in serving him, and because of him, serving others. Father, we thank you for all the clans represented here today, and ask your blessing on each of them as they carry forward that heritage, just as we pray for those of other clans near and far, and those who feel they are of no clan at all, separated from family roots, isolated and alone. the refugee, the homeless, the deserted. Father, please make of us as your people a new family with eyes of compassion to see and hands of action to serve. We ask in Jesus' name, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is called Blessing and Honour and Glory and Power. And we're going to sing heartily together. Please stand.
He is my name.
We're going to hear from the Bible now, and first of all, Joan is going to read us a few verses from Ruth chapter 4 in Gaelic, and then Rosalie will take over and recap for us in English for those of us who don't speak Gaelic too well. It's from Ruth chapter 4, and for those who are regulars, we've been working through the story of Ruth over this last month or so, and today brings the final instalment. Thank you, Joan.
In Shin, Chai Boaz Suas, a Yonzi a Yehte, Agus Huye Shias in Shin, Agus Fech, Va Am Fer Dive, Mun Dolaver Boaz, a Dol Shechet, Agus Huja Rish, Ho a Lehit Sho a Yer, Hig a Lehtiv, Sui Shias in Sho, Agus Hane Ge a Lehtiv, Agus Huye Shias. Agus gave jechner gene jehenneren evale. Agus huote, suyiv shias in sho. Agus huyat shias. Agus huote, rishinjers gaiv. Ha Naomi, a hanik, a rahash, a fern voeb. Gu erun, jenachig, a bu leer braher, emelich, a rechig. Agus smonich mi fisse hort dut, a gra. Canich e fianish an luch atiochug. Agus fianish henneren molhoi. Ma gyrskilis du e, fyrskile. Ach mur fyrskilu e, inisgo. A chaim gumi fisakim, or chanyel nech bi aun, gyrskilig ach usse. Agus mishe at yeise. Agus hoot eshin, fyrskli mishe e.
Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not tell me, so I will know, for no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the guardian redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself," and he removed his sandal. Amen.
My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh also longeth.
The reading continues from Ruth chapter 4, reading verses 9 to 22. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son." And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. Amen.
Thank you. Let us bring our prayer of thanksgiving and intercession. Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, we lift up our hearts and praise you for the unlimited power of your love in Jesus Christ. We praise and give you thanks because Christ never stopped loving you, Father, even when his disciples ran away and death stared him in the face. We thank you because Christ never stopped loving other people, even when he was being nailed to the cross. Through him, you showed us the power of your love in raising him from death. Lord God, we thank you that your love is strong enough to go on loving till the end of time. God of all nations, we thank you that your love is without limit and end. You give us the vision to have the best of your own purposes for the greater good of all people. By the example of your Son, you made all the nations of the world be united as a family, and your Son taught us to love one another. This morning, we thank you especially for those who have gathered to give thanks for their Scottish heritage. Help the diverse heritage of all to bear the love and understand one another. Increase in us sympathy, tolerance, and goodwill that we may learn to appreciate the gifts that other ethnicities bring to us and see all brothers and sisters for whom Christ died for. Help us to live together as members of one family, sons and daughters of Christ, our Redeemer. Heavenly Father, we bring our praise before you. We pray for all those whose minds are broken through trauma or mental illness. We remember those who are bewildered and disorientated, whose minds are shattered and confused. We ask that you would open their hearts to accept the love you give through their carers to help draw the broken pieces together and to cherish each tiny part which makes the whole. God of mercy and grace, we pray for those who are in need of healing, those who have doctor's appointments or surgery. May they have peace of mind and also a renewed spirit. For our families and friends who are ill in hospital, in aged care, or at home, we pray and we remember our friends Max Griffiths and his wife Marilyn Marnin, Matthew Dench and family, and Miralakis. We pray for your healing mercy upon the people who suffer from the Delta variant in Australia, Indonesia, Brazil, India, and the world. For the frontline healthcare workers, that you would keep them and their families safe and healthy. Have mercy upon your people, O God of life. May there be a mass of healings instead of hopelessness and deaths. May thirsty souls be filled with strength and courage to seek and trust you, the Savior of the world. Jesus the Crucified, have mercy and reveal your love and power to all who suffer, to those who are oppressed, destitute, and unemployed. Good Shepherd, Lord Jesus Christ, in a time of anxiety, economy uncertainty, and a globe-trotting pandemic, bind our wounds. Heal your suffering people on earth. We pray for the peace of the world, the welfare of the churches of the world, especially our church and its constituents. We pray for the unity of all people, the leaders of the world, the Queen Elizabeth, the royal family, Prime Minister Mr. Scott Morrison, all the state leaders and those we love, at home or far away, neighbors, friends, and colleagues, and all those whose lives are closely linked with ours. Eternal God, may your Spirit inspire us to pray, give, love, serve, and proclaim the gospel that the name of Jesus Christ will be glorified around the world. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let us sing hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd.
Please be seated. We're going to be taking a look at that passage from Ruth chapter 4 now. You might like to refer back to it in your order of service every now and then. It's also an outline of where the sermon is going on page 6, if that helps. But please join with me in prayer before we begin. Heavenly Father, this is your word, and though these words and this story come from ancient times, we pray that you would warm our hearts by what we read and hear this morning, that you would turn us all the more to faith in you and being part of your family as followers of the Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Dick Rowe is hardly a household name. You've probably never heard of him. But he could have been a household name. Dick was an executive at Decca Records in London in 1962. His job was to scout for new talent. If Dick Rowe is famous for anything at all, it's this. When he auditioned the new Liverpool band called the Beatles, he wasn't impressed. He said, "We don't like their sound, and guitar music is on the way out." Decca Records didn't sign them. Bad call. Mind you, you may well think he was right. I prefer bagpipes to guitar music any day, no doubt. But bear with me for another story about guitar music anyway, with similar regrets. I'm a bit of a guitar enthusiast myself, and when I was a young uni student, I met a friendly guy in a guitar shop. I was trying out one of the guitars, playing a tune, and he came over. He recognised the tune, and I said, "Oh, do you play it?" He said he hadn't. Then I passed him the guitar, and he imitated exactly what I'd played note for note, only far better. I said, "Do you give lessons?" He said, "Yeah, here's my card. Come over sometime." Just lived in the next suburb. Now, as it happens, I just never got around to it. The name on the card was Tommy Emmanuel. If you haven't heard of him, ask me later or Google him. I've been kicking myself ever since. I could have had lessons from, I think, one of the greatest guitarists in the world. Bad call. But here is one more to add to that list that leaves the rest for dead. What if you had the chance to be part of the family tree of the greatest king of Israel and be talked about forever? How would you like it if you had the chance to be forefather of the Redeemer of the world? And yet you casually turned it down. Because here in Ruth chapter 4, you see, that is exactly what happens. And in the biggest irony of all, the guy does it because he wants to make a name for himself his way. He wants to preserve his family line his way, protect his inheritance so he won't be forgotten. And yet when we meet him here in Ruth chapter 4, we don't even get to hear his name. And he leaves the stage of history never to be heard from again. As I said earlier, for our regulars, we are in the closing chapter of a beautiful story that we've been tracking over these last 3 or 4 weeks. And today's episode opens with this man called Boaz, who we met previously, sitting at the town gate waiting for Mr. Nameless to come along, which he eventually does. Boaz is here to bring everyone up to speed because last week he's promised Ruth that he will be her guardian redeemer, an ancient custom in Israel that gives the option of coming to the rescue of these distant relatives who have lost everything. Widowed Naomi, an old woman, and her widowed daughter-in-law Ruth. Rescuing them by marrying Ruth and taking on the family debt and continuing the family line of Ruth's dead husband, and so keeping the clan alive. Chapter 3 was something of a love story in the barley fields as Ruth makes a request, and Boaz accepts with one hitch. There is actually a closer relative who has first option. Boaz, we've seen, is full of what's called in the story covenant kindness. Bound by this family obligation, but more than that, a man of real compassion. With the other relative in the wings, who knows? And so here's Boaz waiting at the city gate, and sooner or later here he comes, the other guardian redeemer with first option to help. "Come over and sit down for a chat," says Boaz. "We're going to need some witnesses, the town elders who sit at the gate chewing tobacco, talking about old times. Come over," he says. Because though the new man doesn't know it, Boaz is going to make this potential redeemer the best offer he's ever going to hear. Naomi, who's come back from Moab, he says she's selling the paddock that belonged to our relative Elimelech. Verse 4, he says, "I thought you should know about it because you are the closest relative. You've got first right of refusal." He says, "If you want a redeemer, do so, but if you won't, tell me, because I am next in line." Now, at first, this sounds like a good deal. No strings attached. I mean, expand your holdings. Old Naomi, she won't be much trouble. She's the mother-in-law. Back in chapter 1, she left the promised land with her husband Elimelech, He died in the land of Moab. Their sons died in the land of Moab. Now she's back. So at the end of verse 4, he's saying in a rush of enthusiasm, I'll do it. I will redeem it. Which, if you were here when the romantic sparks were flying in the barley field last week, is maybe a little disappointing. Here's the thing. Boaz doesn't mention it till verse 5. One more thing. By the way, it's a package deal. When you buy the land, you have to take the girl as well. Which girl? Well, the Moabite daughter-in-law. It's not just old Naomi. She's brought home Ruth with her as well, a complete outsider. The day you get the land, you get the dead man's widow as well to keep the name of the dead with his property. And Ruth is the one who's going to carry on the family line. At which the nameless guardian redeemer backs off. He says, well, I've got an estate of my own to worry about. I've got my own heritage to take care of. Block of land's one thing, but no way am I going to take on another family just to preserve the clan of Elimelech. Now, these are strange words in our culture, aren't they? I think, in fact, in our culture, it's always about the romance and what follows. It's all about the hormones. Back then, it was about responsibility for a family. And the downside is, you see, when your father is a widow, the child ends up with the land that you paid for. It's a crazy idea. What's in it for the Redeemer? Very little. It is held in trust for the next generation. What you're really buying is the right to a debt. And so verse 6, he says, you redeem it. I can't. And verse 7, he does what they did back then to seal a deal. You hand over a sandal. Verse 8, in front of the witnesses at the gate, he says, buy it yourself, and takes off his shoe. Which, as we're going to see in a moment, goes down in history with all those other bad calls I mentioned at the start. And with H.M. Warner, another one who wouldn't invest in talking movies because he said, who on earth would want to hear actors talk? Bad call. There's no future in hitching up with this Moabite girl. She's not even an Israelite. And the figures just don't add up. So off he walks, lopsidedly on one sandal, into the mists of time, so keen to preserve his family name, he disappears without us even knowing his name at all. Never heard from again. The fact is, redeeming Ruth and Naomi, redeeming the clan of Elimelech, makes no business sense at all. And if anyone is going to do it, it's only going to be out of kindness, out of genuine covenant compassion. So, smelly sandal in his hand as proof, Boaz does what he says. He buys the family out of poverty. He pays off their debt. Takes Ruth as his bride. You can see his words in verse 9 in the passage. Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion and Mahlon. I've also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today, you are witnesses. Now, in the long arc of this story, remember, week one, young widow Ruth, a Moabite. She's chosen to take refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. She sought refuge under the wings of Boaz. Now she's his wife. And her mother-in-law Naomi is taken care of as well. And so, of course, there's celebration in the air. The elders and the crowd at the gate shaking his hand and saying, may the Lord make the woman who's coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, back in Genesis chapter 29, the great mothers of the nation of Israel. May Ruth be like that, the start of something big. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. So we're told Boaz takes Ruth to be his wife, and she conceives, and there in Bethlehem gives birth to a son. So at the end of this ancient book, here is Naomi, who came home from a distant land empty, nursing the baby grandson she never thought she'd see. And the other women celebrating a blessing, because as they look at the child, they see a redeemer. They see one who will bring blessing beyond Boaz. They see a future full of blessing. Verse 14, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. And you see, they're talking there about the boy. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. The baby boy they called Obed, which means servant, who we're told in verse 17 becomes the father of Jesse, who becomes the father of great King David, who rules over Israel in peace and prosperity. Who then, I'm sure you know, becomes the ancestor and the pattern for an even better redeemer, even further down the line, whose name is Jesus. Now, as you probably know, there are only two kinds of people in the world. Those who find genealogies incredibly dull, and those who think there's nothing more exciting. Here, surrounded by proud Scottish clans this morning, I think you're the perfect audience for a story like this, because I'm sure you all love a good lineage. You see, the story of Ruth finishes with a genealogy. I wonder if you've noticed, hundreds of years later in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew begins with one, which is far from dull. Because you might not have noticed, but Matthew, you see, picks up on exactly this family line of Ruth and Boaz and traces it through all the way to Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, it's an unusual family unit. It's an unusual birth, just like Ruth and Boaz, baby Obed. But it is a line, you see, with a great heritage of redeemer kings. Redeeming is never cheap. The cost is stepping in to take the debt of someone else to set them free. And you see, what Jesus has done is exactly that for each of us at the cross. In Titus chapter 2, Paul says, our Saviour Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for himself a people of his very own, eager to do what is good. Redeemed us from the consequences of sin. Redeemed us from the fear of judgment. Redeemed us from shame by publicly, in a cosmic display, taking our shame on himself, the embodied God of the universe. Now that is redemption. The book of Ruth was, I think, originally meant to warm the hearts of Israelites who were far away from God in exile in Babylon, painting a picture of hope, calling them home, promising redemption when they turned back. Maybe this book's done the same for you, saying to you that if you come back to the God of Israel, the welcome mat is already out. There is a Redeemer. And the crazy thing is, just to finish, at least for the first Israelites hearing the story, you see, anyone can come. Even a Moabite woman like Ruth, a complete outsider. Anyone can come and find that redemption and a place among the people of God. See, this really is a blessing for all the nations, That's a point the New Testament makes over and over again. This is a blessing for every clan, Scots, Malaysian, Indonesian, American, Indian, even Australian, all welcome in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, says the Apostle Paul in Galatians 3. All welcome, one without distinction, under the Redeemer Jesus. You know, it was crazy in a way for that other relative to say no to being part of God's big plan and walk away. He had better ideas. He was going to do it himself. But friends, how much more crazy if you were to say no to Jesus this morning and miss out on the opportunity of a lifetime, the opportunity for life. That would indeed be a bad call. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed for the redemption we have in Christ Jesus, that offer of forgiveness and a place in your family, free of charge, but at great cost to him. We thank you for that, Father, and pray that you would move in us by your Spirit to think more deeply on these things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our final hymn in just a moment, Christ is Our Light. Just a reminder, during the last verse, the clans are going to assemble at the front and be ready to leave soon after. Let's stand and sing. Friends, many thanks for joining us this morning at Scott's, especially if you've been our guest as part of the Melbourne Tartan Festival. We would love to see you again any Sunday morning at the same time. And may God of all we have from the Lord Jesus Christ guide us and keep the wearers of these tartans all of us, now and forevermore. Amen.